Well, hello everyone. This is Dunk Granny Audio 774. I'm Jeremy. I'm the host this week. And joining me in a rare appearance of the two of us together is Mr. Chris Calamita. What's up, my friend?
Not a heck of a lot, Jeremy. How about yourself?
I'm still reeling from this weekend. Well, first, I hurt myself last week, so I could barely walk on Sunday, so that was fun. Good. And then, so I've been convalescing, and then I'm still doing better than some people, so I don't mind. But all right, let's just get into this bullshit. So Sunday, you didn't see the show. I've been waiting to say something about this, and I told Kevin I was just going to do a solo show, and I got lazy, because that's what I do. And Ric Flair had his last match. And yes, I know it's Wednesday now or Thursday when it gets posted. So it's like old news already, and it should be. But Conrad Thompson is his, not stepson,
son-in-law.
Thank you. God damn. And he put this debacle on.
Yes, and he did.
All right. So if you've seen the show, it had its positives. The Josh Alexander, Jacob Fatu match was good. It was everything I wanted it to be, and then the end just sucked. So I was like, okay, cool. And Matt Cardona and Brian Myers, who was supposed to be on the show and then wasn't, showed up with smart Mark Sterling, interfered, and they got disqualified. And it was like, what? Like, nothing. No explanation, nothing. The matches were so fast that no one ever got going. So the Lucha match was the best one because they gave him a long time in comparison to everybody else. So I didn't have high hopes for Davey Boy Smith and Killer Kross because I've seen a Davey Boy Smith match before. And it's like, okay, I mean, I get why the guy is where he's at. That thing went 4 minutes. And it's like two sluggers, huh? So anyways, get to the end, and Ric Flair comes out and immediately is moving slow. And I mean slow. And they have to tell him, hey, open your robe up. Because he's got the big gold belt. So he's already moving slow, not following directions. Gets down there, and it was just sad. And I don't know if you realize this, I have a big problem with wrestlers wearing t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens has just kind of done it ever since he's been in WWE. Not when he was in Ring of Honor, but, you know. Sting, no, it's garbage. I think Matt Hardy was doing it today, too, on Dynamite. I understand why they're doing it, because it's a vain business, but no. Just no. So Flair's got a purple t-shirt on with the sleeves cut off, and not even cut off, like, meticulously dealt well done. Just cut off. He looked so bad. Because he looked his age, and also looked his age for a man who's done all of the things he's done to himself. Barely moving around the ring. Turns out he was hurt, which is why he was moving slow. He takes a superplex and doesn't move the rest of the match. And I'm watching this going, can someone please check on him? He's just laying there. I mean, he's just laying there. So then the end is supposed to be him getting Brass Knucks, hitting Jeff Jarrett. I believe it was Jeff Jarrett. And then putting him in the figure four, and Jarrett would tap, like, pass out or get pinned. Andrade, who is his son-in-law, is handing him Brass Knucks, and his hands are shaking. And I mean shaking. And that was the first time I'm like, I'm actually really kind of scared now. Like, he's not moving. And he's like, come on, get up. He's like dragging him up. Flair barely hits him. Then he puts the figure four on him, and I'm saying that very sarcastically. Jarrett basically put himself in it. And then they both just lay down. pin, match is over. And of course, Flair bladed. You saw the pictures. I hate nostalgia, and this is a perfect reason for it. The whole thing, they tried to make it look like the NWA set, you know, the, NWA, on TBS set. That was cool. David Crockett had no idea what he was doing, but it was kind of fun hearing his voice again. Bob Caudle was on there. Tony Schiavone was on there and had the enthusiasm of a slug. I mean, they'd go to him and he'd just be sitting there like, yeah, what? And I know you like Tony Schiavone, but I saw someone make the joke that he was calling this with the enthusiasm of his appearance on TNA, you know, all those years ago.
Yeah.
And they aren't wrong.
No, no.
And it's like, why are you here then? And then the end just, oh. Now, were you in Orlando for his WWE retirement match?
No, I was not.
We were. That was the one we almost got set on fire by the fireworks.
Yeah.
All I had in my head watching this was, you had it perfect. You went out in front of 70,000, whatever it was, shot elegantly, your whole family's there. The next night, you are treated like royalty. The next night, all of your friends and peers, all of them, I think almost all of them, are there. Hugs, the arena's just giving you a standing ovation, goes off the air, they have more of a celebration. And then I just saw this. The match was terrible. I understand he's old and he's hurt. I don't care. And he's surrounded by like GCW wrestlers. And I just went, oh God. And that pretty much sums it up. Just like, oh, God. It was so sad. And the worst part of it is the way the match went off. And he even said he got knocked out. That's why he was just laying there. So I was like, good job, ref. And then the way it went down, and you know who he is, and depending on how financially successful this is, I wouldn't put it past him to try and do this again.
I wouldn't put it past him to wrestle again. I don't think Conrad can promote it, though.
No. Oh, God.
No, I mean, this was probably successful enough that Conrad maybe could try this again, throw someone else in the ring for the last time. I don't know exactly who, but it's the whole thing seemed to be very, you know, trying to live in both worlds, trying to live in the nostalgia world of Conrad's podcast and modern independent wrestling and every available person who was able to be on this show. You know, there wasn't a lot of didn't seem to be a lot of crowd reactions early.
No, that crowd was either mic'd terribly or they were dead. And they weren't given much of a reason to cheer.
Yeah, no. I mean, I didn't mind, like, reading through it. Like, yeah, you know what? These match times are probably about right for what these people have to offer. These other matches had no storyline to them. It was just throw whoever against each other. Just nothing much more to the show than it was.
Yeah.
See, Ric Flair's last match.
And, yeah. See, I was sold on Fatu and Josh Alexander because I liked the both of them. I'm confused why Fatu's in MLW, but whatever.
I don't understand that whole thing at all. It's like he signed a lifetime contract and his firstborn over to Court Bauer. I have no idea. It's like he's been there 6 or 7 years now. It feels like.
Well, he re-upped as well.
That's an idiot. Oh my God.
Even go to Impact. I'm being dead serious.
No,
you know,
he's more than ready to go to WWE.
Yeah.
Either join the Bloodline or go against Roman Reigns.
Yeah. No, but I looked this up. I can't remember. He's the cousin of the Usos, right?
Yeah.
Right. Because he's what, Tonga Kid's kid?
I think right? That's...
I already did all this. I don't know why. It's an impossibility to keep this stuff straight. Other than Solo Sikoa is the Usos' brother.
Yes,
I'm good with that.
That's plainly obvious.
Yeah. I don't know. What could it be? The way he sounds, the way he talks, or the way he looks?
The way you look.
I don't know. pick your choice. Yeah, any of the three. And I'm not knocking him, by the way. It's just just facts.
No. I mean, he's of anyone in NXT 2.0, he might be the most ready and the most easy spot to slide him into.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Bloodline honestly doesn't need another person though. I don't think so.
No.
It's rare that a three just keeps going. And it's rare that that a three keeps going, and I keep saying three because my vocabulary is garbage. A trio, you know, and I know it's Roman Reigns, so that's why, but that are this successful. So, but that's, I mean, I was sold on that match because I really wanted to see that. And then I really wanted to see the Wolves. Well, they couldn't make up their minds if it was American Wolves or Wolves and Motor City Machine Guns. Yeah, they're all older, but that's never happened before. So I was like, all right, let's see this. Something shouldn't have happened. It wasn't good. I'm like, this stinks. Like, oh, boy, this is a rough way to start this, man. But at least they brought in other announcers to cover the matches.
Oh, yeah. Shivani was,
God.
Was woefully unprepared, and David Cross...
Just happy to be there.
He was happy. You know, he was legitimately happy to be there. From what I could tell, there was actually moments that he was actually impressed by some of the things he was seeing.
Oh yeah, the Lucha match especially, because they said this is gonna blow your doors off, Dave. You're not gonna know what to say, like goofing on him. And Antonio at one point goes, "Hey, Dave, are you still with us?" He's like, "Man, this is great. I'm just wrapped up in the match." And they started laughing because that was like, "All right, he sounds very genuine, actually." So, but it's also like your typical Lucha match, everyone does stuff. I'm still confused how Black Taurus wrestles in that mask. I don't know how he breathes or how he sees in that mask. I just don't. But he's made a career out of it, so good for him. So that kind of put a sour taste in my mouth. Like, I'm never doing this again. And my excuse was, I've spent $30 going out and having four beers now between Elise and I. So I can spend the $30 to get this thing. And, yeah, no. Nah, it's not going to happen again. So they can promote somebody else's last match. I don't know who it could be, but they can count me out. So, but I don't know. What did you want to talk about generally? Like, neither of us, like, AEW's whatever today. You didn't really see it. Whatever. Did you see NXT?
I did see NXT. I did see this week's NXT. Or the hour-long version that's on Hulu. I've seen.
That's only an hour?
Oh, yeah. It's probably about 30 minutes of stuff cut out.
Oh, wow. Oh, I guess you wouldn't know. I'll have to try and check that out then. I didn't know they cut stuff down. That's crazy. Wait, did they show the Tiffany Stratton thing?
No, they didn't see that.
Oh.
I saw it on YouTube. I should have.
I love her.
I do love her. She's fantastic.
That character is so... I guess being a child of the 80s, and then growing up, especially hearing how women, in quotes, talk nowadays, it's like, yeah, this girl sucks. So I can, like, her attitude stinks, and I can get behind it. So just... And also pointing out the fact that Wendy Chu is like a loser, yeah. She hasn't said anything wrong yet. The girl walks around in pajamas all day. Yeah, okay. I'm not going to boo the girl who thinks that's stupid. So, consider me a fan based on principles. But no, she's not bad in the ring. And also, like, that character, she has nailed that thing. Just, whenever, I don't know why it always cracks me up, but hearing someone with her voice saying that you suck at life, always makes me laugh. Always makes me laugh. But I'm trying to think. I don't know what else happened on NXT worth anything. The street fight wasn't bad, actually.
No. The false count, which was good. I enjoyed it. Once again, Sokoa's basically ready. I don't know if Van Wagner will ever really be ready, but this was probably the best I've seen of him. I know a lot of that match was Sokoa, but, you know. Wagner was there. Oh, I like the interaction with Sokoa and Mello. I even kind of like the thing with Grimes and Von Wagner. So now we've got that'll set up two new feuds. Yeah. The dumpster bit was funny. Why was the W logo on that dumpster? Who knows?
Okay, that was great. But also
that was great. That was fantastic. I don't know why. Did they really? Is that really just there?
I think they probably had to cover up the company that owns the dumpster.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's very true. Yes, I'm sure they do. Yes.
So the one thing I was really disappointed, because I believe those that was recorded. So. And it doesn't fit anyone's character, but it's okay. He throws Sokoa in the dumpster, and there is real lightning going on in the sky. And I'm like, when he pops out of this dumpster, if lightning goes off for real, I'm gonna fall off the couch because that's gonna be amazing. And it didn't happen, and they didn't add lightning in when he jumped out of it. Like a monster rising from the dead or something. I just thought that was a missed opportunity. But, and I was also like, is that the end? So. I'm trying to think, what else? The weird contract signing. Okay. And then.
Yeah, they've been doing Braun Breaker wrong ever since that stupid Ziggler title win, and then just feud after feud that just doesn't work for him.
The Cameron Grimes ones especially. The
Grimes, they're gonna have a decent match because it's mm-hmm. Grimes, but the half-assed heel turn that they immediately walked back, the week after, the whole storyline just didn't work. The stuff with Gacy didn't fit anything. Breaker should be doing. It's weird. It's like he's not ready, but at the same time, I don't know what else he's going to learn in this environment. So you might as well just have him on the main roster, throw him on house shows, and have him like wrestle Sheamus everywhere for like 3 to 6 months.
Oh, that actually wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
Because I guess this goes back to last week. I actually watched. I made a point of watching SmackDown for the Sheamus and Drew McIntyre match. And boy, they didn't disappoint. So, those who just have it, when you brought up Sheamus, I didn't see anyone praising that match, and I thought it was really good.
It was really good.
I don't know.
Sheamus has absolutely worked his way to people looking back, like, even people that look back and everything, it's like, that guy's had a good career.
Mm-hmm.
They put the main belt on him at various points that maybe that didn't work. But everything else in his career, really good to great.
Yeah, I'd say stumbles were the king thing, but anytime somebody became king, it was a stumble anyways.
Yeah.
Ever since Booker T became King Booker, everyone had to become king something, and it's like, no, this doesn't work. But, I mean, even like King, when it was King Xavier, the rare face that was the king. That didn't work either. That was just like, okay, whatever. But I was actually telling Kevin that they could have got around this whole Drew McIntyre losing to Roman Reigns thing if they would have just had Sheamus go over. I understand it's not what, the popular thing to do, but Sheamus can absorb that loss overseas where you're going to jeopardize and put Drew behind the eight ball now, losing I guess it's foreign soil because he's Scottish, right? And this is in Cardiff. That's in Wales.
In Cardiff. But and plenty of people from Scotland will be there, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we've seen how serious those people are about Drew McIntyre. Going back to when he won the Royal Rumble and all the, the videos around different bars and that. So it's like, I can't see Roman losing. So. I don't know. Although it's weird, they're calling out Roman for having been a part-time champion now.
Yeah. I mean, people have eyes; they can see that. Once again, McIntyre has the best chance of anybody Roman Reigns has faced pretty much this entire reign, And he will have sneaked past that 2 year mark. That I think it means something to them. Before that, just days before Clash at the Castle. So it's possible. As I said, then after that though, if he makes it past Clash at the Castle, he's making it to WrestleMania.
I mean, doesn't he have to by then?
Hmm?
He has to by then.
He has to make it there, and either they'll do the Rock match, which I'm thinking is less and less likely every day, or it's going to be Cody.
I'm still a big proponent. It has to be Cody.
Yeah, I think even if you have the opportunity to do the Rock match, you still do the Cody match because they've been living for over a decade now on the pop, the return, mm-hmm. the one night investment.
Yep. And
yeah.
I'm trying to temper, which we can get into because I know you probably talked about with Kevin, but we can get into like expectations of change with Triple H, but seeing like I gotta figure that's been the plan the whole time, and Cody getting hurt just kind of messed up plans.
Yeah.
Oh no, I guess wasn't it like it was kind of rumored it was supposed to be Cody at SummerSlam, wasn't it?
No, I think the rumors was Randy Orton at SummerSlam, and then that was out there before Cody got hurt.
Oh yeah, I guess it would have been. Okay, yeah, I forgot about that already. So
yeah, so but for the most part, Money in the Bank was being built around Cody. A lot. And but I don't know if he was going to win the briefcase or not initially. I don't know when if Theory was always supposed to win the briefcase or if Cody was supposed to win it.
Unless real quick, since you mentioned Theory, boy, if he doesn't show up on Friday, which I'm guessing he will, that's 2 weeks in a row he got smacked, and he got smacked this time by not even showing up.
Oh yeah.
Yeesh.
Yeah. I mean, they were doing this before Vince left. You know, the thing where you can just beat down and beat down and beat down the Money in the Bank winner, and then he just cashes in and wins it. But he's not going to cash it in and win it anytime soon. It's just not going to happen right now.
No. And doesn't he seem like primed to be a guy that doesn't win anyways?
He seems primed.
Yeah.
Now, so it was mentioned that, you know what, when Theory was first in Evolve, you know, everyone was impressed by him, including Triple, including, then it would have, that would have included Triple H. So it's not that Triple H, you know, that Theory is this guy that Triple H sees nothing in that, you know, he's gonna throw that old toy away and replace it with his own toys, or you know, whatever that analogy is about
mm-hmm.
when a new boss is in town. So it's not necessarily that Theory is gonna lose his push as soon as Vince is gone, but he was beaten very, very. He's been beaten very, very definitively so often. Yeah.
Well, there's wins and losses, yes, but also he got one up on. He attacked the Usos last Monday, didn't even get sold. They just turned around like, "What are you hitting me with a briefcase for?" Which is like, wait a minute, what? Because even Brock sold the briefcase shot on Friday or whatever it was. No. When did he hit Brock with it? And Brock just beat. I mean, the point is he's been getting beaten down with that briefcase as well. Brock yeah. beating the bejesus out of him. Brock doing it again, and then at SummerSlam he comes down. Brock just blasts him and just starts beating him again with the briefcase. I'm like, stop carrying it with you. You're only hurting yourself. But
yeah. I don't. Yeah, I definitely. See Theory not cashing in, but for a while there they were letting that percentage of cash-ins go down and down and down, and then they started bringing it back up again, and No one's failed in a little while, I don't think. I don't think anyone's failed since Corbin, right? Or no, Braun. Braun in 2018. Braun also, okay, that's where that percentage was starting to go down.
It's so bad, I don't even remember the Braun one.
Well, he had the briefcase, just gave it away for a Hell in a Cell match with Roman Reigns that Brock Lesnar interfered in.
Oh my God, I don't remember this.
Well, that was pretty much basically the end of Braun. I mean, that was of him being a main event guy. Because then they did a 90-second match and saw at the first Crown Jewel or whatever.
Yeah, that to me was where Braun was like, all right, he's dead in the water. And I know they gave him the title for the pandemic WrestleManias, but okay. And then they had the weird feud with him and Bray, where Bray just took it from him. So, yeah, for a guy that had like a meteoric rise, boy, for you, oh yeah, that's right, meteors come back down. So, actually, they don't come back down, they just come down. Stupid ass. But yeah, the theory, I don't know, I always tell Kevin, and for anyone who can, if they have the Evolve shows with Austin Theory on them, watch them. He's good. He can talk without doing the goofy ass smiling and selfie bullshit, and you can get him, he can get you to hate him. I mean, you know, you go to an Evolve show, you're not there with the casual fan who's like, who's this asshole? You're like, all right, who's this guy? All right, yeah, I don't like him. Like, he did his job. That's why I don't like this Brooks and Jensen thing, just on a side note. I've already forgotten his name. It was whatever Brooks' name was. Josh Brooks? Josh Woods? He was in Evolve. And his catchphrase basically was, chances are he doesn't like you. Or he doesn't know you and he doesn't like you. And he was just an asshole. And then now he's like some country guy. So it's like, whatever. But to go back to Theory, it's like there is talent there. So it just, that's a major rebuild job. At least to me. And there's plenty of time, too. He's only 24, I think. So have him lose the belt or the briefcase. Because the briefcase is kind of a joke anyways. I mean, The Miz won it from Otis, or got it from Otis, got it back in a trial, that all those shenanigans. And then Tucker cost him the match, and it's like, okay, I don't understand this. But I guess when you don't have a set opponent or set plan for the person who wins it, I guess it's kind of the problem too. So, but what'd you think of SummerSlam? We'll go backwards and then come forward.
I like the show. I think some people are overrating it because I feel like after the first two matches, nothing else really rose to that level until the main event. But everything was fine to good. I don't think anything was outrageously bad. So I had an enjoyable night watching it.
Yeah, to me, the show started off on a 10, which I thought was a problem.
Yeah, it was a problem. The women's match followed by Logan Paul having the celebrity match of a lifetime.
Again.
I mean, well, the first time was a tag match. So, yeah. It was more than, oh my God, Dennis Rodman just did a hip toss. But yeah, it was a tag match. This was a singles match, and it's, you know what, all respect in the world to the guy. I mean, he really put it out there for it. He is a natural at this. If they could afford to have him around more often, maybe they should spend the money to have him around more often.
Well, I watched the interview he did with Triple H on his podcast. It sounds like he signed for a bunch more matches.
Yeah, if they rework the deal, also he can be a grating enough personality that, especially if they're bound and determined to have him be a face, him being on TV every week, maybe neither way may not work. But more often than like the big shows of the year.
Yeah, see, I didn't know anything about this guy. And I know that people don't like him, but I was like, well, that's kind of a weird thing to say if he legitimately has all of these, you know, social media followers. He's raking in money from being an influencer and all this. Like, if this amount of people don't like him, I'm confused. But then people were booing him, so I'm like, okay, I guess I'm wrong, but I don't understand how you get that popular and be that hated. And Kevin was trying to explain that he did some video on a Japanese field or something.
Yeah, that one, like, was...
What?
So. Yeah, the Suicide Forest thing where he was filming dead bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't... And he's apologized for that. I mean...
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
A lot of it's going to be a generational thing. But they need... We're maybe two generations from I mean, younger people finding wrestling. The last guy for kids was, and this wouldn't even be for young kids, but was basically John Cena. I mean, you know, people born 2002 and later have pretty much for the most part never had wrestling part of their life. You know, growing up in the YouTube generation, in the Instagram, and then TikTok, and you know, people cutting the cord, and magazines going away, and you know, video stores going away. So many avenues that got young fans into it are gone. So if you can bring someone like this in, and he's going to put in the work, and it's going to show up, and it's going to show like that, why not? Go for it.
Yeah, and that was actually something that, like, Triple H touched on. And he's like, you know, there's like you said, the avenues, and then also, like, you know, we can bring you in. And it was funny, his co-host, I don't know the other guy's names, but his co-host were like, he goes, it said to Triple H, he's like, hey, real honest, like, honest answer. When they mentioned, hey, this Logan Paul guy, what was your first reaction? He goes, you want my honest reaction? He's like, yeah. He's like, who the fuck is Logan Paul? He goes, I have no idea who you were. He goes, no, I mean, no disrespect. I just didn't know your work. And then they started showing it to him. He was like, oh, okay, this works. And it's an interesting interview because Triple H does most of the talking. And you can see, one, it was funny because he was swearing. And I know Vince did in, like, his interview with Pat McAfee, whatever. But generally, WWE interviews, you're squeaky clean. So I thought that was just an interesting thing to have happen. I mean, I know it was like an adult interview. I guess he has a show for adults. But, you know, it was just interesting to hear that. And by no means am I a prude about this stuff. So, but to go back to SummerSlam, yeah, the one thing when I would say it started as a 10 was you had the women's match, then you had Bayley return.
Yes.
And then for that audience, Dakota Kai, who no one talked about coming back, and then Io Sky, which I actually don't mind that name.
No, it's
one of the better ones. So, but they come back. Becky turns face finally, because she should have never been a heel anyways. Then you have the other match. And it's like, okay, here we go. But I also think starting as a 10 is they brought in Dakota and they brought in Io. And it's like, who the hell is showing up next? And that was it. Like, oh. Well, he kind of set the bar pretty high, man.
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely did, yes.
Yeah, but the rest of the show, I was waiting for someone new to show up. And nothing. And it didn't take away the enjoyment of anything, but it was a distraction. Even though they didn't have some, like, cool moments as well. I liked the whole Drew thing, because you don't get that, but you got him on the big show. Riddle just popping up. That was fun. You know, he got his ass kicked again. I don't really remember the placement of the stuff. Edge returned, that's right. But they even said he was going to be there.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
every video made it more obvious it was Edge.
Yeah, and then also,
and the last one, you know, he even stepped out of the shadow, and it was plainly him.
Yeah, and he goes, "I return tonight," and it's like, "Well, thanks." Well, there goes that fun. There goes that mystery. But yeah, so yeah, that the Street Profits match was just a letdown. Like, it was good, but damn, they lost clean this time.
Yeah,
there's no argument.
No, there is no argument, and they're probably breaking up soon. I don't know if they need a violent breakup. The draft is 2 months away. Just put them on different shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and well, they even made mention of that on Monday. It's like, there ain't nothing breaking us up. He's like, oh, they're trying to break us up or something like that. Like, they made a joke about it.
But then Montez ran to the ring and got in. And
see, I know. All right, was that supposed to be taken as a heel move? Because I thought that was just a clever move among friends. Gotcha. Like, calling shotgun. That's how I took it.
I think Dawkins is taking it that way. We'll see. I mean, because obviously when Seth was trying to continue his beatdown after the match, Dawkins ran right back in. If they do Dawkins versus Seth on Monday, does Montez take his sweet time to make the save?
No, that's a good call. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't get the Street Profits at first. I was like, what is this? And then there was the famous part where I think Dawkins chopped somebody. This is back when they were at Full Sail, and Montez lost his mind, jumped over the guardrail, and started running through the crowd screaming. And I'm like, wait a minute, I've never seen that before. That was kind of funny. And then they slowly grew on me to the point where it's like, all right, and Kevin had mentioned this, they've been tag team champions, but it's almost as if those don't even matter. The way they built the story.
No, that was in that period right before the pandemic and a little bit through it. Yes. Yeah. Nothing that happened then.
Yeah. So it was like, okay, they're finally getting their just due. Like, they're finally going to... And I had it in my head. Big stage, stadium that's going to go wild when they win.
Because there's no babyface teams left for the Usos. They're going back around and beating the people they beat last year, the teams they beat last year, with the Street Profits and then the Mysterios again.
Mm-hmm.
There's no even to have a babyface team to transition the titles from Usos to Viking Raiders. There's no transition there. You almost have to do an Usos Viking Raiders match that, you know, a heel versus heel, which of course the Usos would get cheered during.
Yeah, well, they kind of get cheered anyways.
Yeah,
but not like the Street Profits. So. All right, so that was, I guess it makes sense with jumping back and forth because there's been no SmackDown yet. But so from that, when they had Mysterios and the Usos at the end of Raw, I was like, okay, who's showing up? Like, what tag team's going to show up to? Because I didn't believe for 1 second the Mysterios were going to win. So I was like, all right, who's going to come out and confront the Usos? I did not expect the Edge thing at all. So I was waiting, and I was trying to think of teams that could show up to confront them, and I'm like, I'm drawing a blank. I was even trying to think of NXT. There ain't nobody. And in my head, I thought it would have been great if it was Pretty Deadly, but no. Because you keep saying Solo Sikoa is the only one ready. Those guys are ready for the main roster. I don't even care about their in-ring work. That is a main roster act. Those guys are awesome. You can't like them because they suck. Like, they are punchable, which is so great. But they'd also probably go up there to the top. Well, I got to stop saying that because there's a new think tank. But I just like Pretty Deadly for that gimmick. But it wouldn't have made sense anyways for the Usos. Because who are the face tag teams in NXT? Brooks and Jensen.
Are the Creeds baby faces now?
That's true. Yeah. They're so awesome. Yeah. I mean, those guys are animals.
Yes, yeah.
Like, Julius, I think, is ready for a main roster. He handles himself better in the ring than Brutus does.
Yeah, but they still need that tag team run together.
Yeah, right.
to go on the main roster. Yes. Yeah, the matches they could have with the Usos and various other teams, you know, that they could have some barbers. Yeah.
Who else is a face tag?
It's not early enough to be talking about which one should get the big push when they...
I think it's pretty clear it's Julius anyways.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Brutus looks kind of lost still. Like, he's awkward in his own skin on TV. And then he does that finishing clothesline, and it's like, good Lord, dude. Pull back. Like, you don't need to hit them for real. And Julius is guilty of it too, but Brutus is just worse. But I'm trying to think, in NXT, who are the other face tag teams? Are there any? Is the state of tag teams that bad?
It's... I guess so. I mean, for space teams, you know, it's the Creeds and Brooks and Jensen. And then I don't remember who else is teaming regularly over there.
Wow. All right, but so I guess that kind of goes to the point too then. There's no one to face the Usos, so I was like, oh. And then the Edge thing happens, like, oh, okay, that's what the whole setup was.
Yeah. Yeah, now Dominic has his motivation to actually turn.
Cool.
Yeah.
Not a fan. I'm just not a fan.
No one is. No one is. Edge and Buddy Murphy pulled out miracles. It was the old Bret Hart talking to Tom McGee. Tell me three things you can do well, and we'll just build the whole match around. We'll just build the whole match around those. You know, consistently being in the ring in front of crowds was actually the worst thing for Dominic, who was never formally trained enough.
No, it's like, you know, they talk about developmental and all that stuff, and I understand why he's on the main roster, because it's Ray's kid, but it's doing him a disservice by being on the main roster already.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely, you know, is. I don't think he was trained by the Performance Center. I think he was one of those people who, like, Ray sent him to either... it wasn't Lance. When would have been Lance Storm? Lance Storm shut down his school years ago. Maybe it was Kendrick he sent him to.
Yeah, but that's what I'm getting at. I'm sorry, I didn't make myself clear. That's what I'm getting at is he should have gone to the Performance Center.
Yes.
And never been on the main roster, and they could have called him Dominic Jisterio, and everyone's like, wink, wink. He's not. He's, you know.
Yeah. Well, there was that one point where Ray and Dominic made a cameo on NXT 2.0 and people are making jokes.
Yeah.
Ray's going to drop him off and then go...
Yeah.
He's going to get a pack of smokes.
Yeah. Well, I guess they could have had... Because whatever happened to Bobby Roode? Can you remember they had that whole thing?
I don't know.
They had that whole thing with them.
Yeah.
They could have just turned them face. Whatever. Anyways... So it was a disappointment that loss for the Street Profits, and then no one for the Usos the next day, or for like the next to go forward. Unless they do something on SmackDown, which I keep forgetting, we're not there yet. We're only a couple days after SummerSlam.
Right.
So, but yeah, like, they barely mentioned Brock and Roman. I mean, they did. But you'd think it'd be all over the place. But I guess since Roman's a SmackDown guy, if he's going to be on SmackDown, I'm going to guess he will be this week.
Yeah, I think Roman's supposed to be on SmackDown this week. Maybe it's every other SmackDown or something. But yeah, the build-up to the main event of Clash of the Castle is going to take place exclusively on SmackDown. Which is why I do think it was smart for not only for Raw to, you know, Annie up on the women's division stuff, especially with now two groups against each other, because that always works. But also to try and make Lashley and the United States title feel more important.
That was really cool.
Yes.
Because haven't we all been saying they need to make the secondary titles worth something?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they are, and we're like, wow, that's really good. Well, like, why, like, I guess the shock of it. So I'll be curious on Friday if they do something with the Intercontinental title.
Well,
who is that?
I definitely think Gunther is going to be the type of
that's
guy,
right.
Someone that Triple H is going to push the hell out of.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, and him and Nakamura is a good thing. If they could go to Cash the Castle with it, that'll be fun. I mean, I think when we get to around WrestleMania time, I could absolutely see Gunther getting a Brock Lesnar match or a John Cena match, depending on, you know, whether Cena would be around for such a thing.
Oh, wow. Cena's not taking that chop, though.
Well, he's done some crazy stuff. It all depend on what he's doing afterward, if he needs to take his shirt off for it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Can you see Brock putting up with that, though? Now, all right. I understand a lot of that's based on the mystique of Brock Lesnar, a guy who clearly understands how this business works.
Yes.
Who does not get credit for it. But I don't know, man. Gunther's like, all right, so I'm going to chop you a few times. He's like, ah.
I mean, as long as Gunther wouldn't be afraid of Brock throwing him around and, you know, being stiff with a clothesline or anything like that, which I don't think Gunther would be. Maybe Brock would be okay with it. I mean, Brock's chest and face gets beat red anyway.
Yeah.
From about 2 minutes of exertion.
Two? I'd cut that in half, man. But yeah, real quick, you've seen I didn't catch it live. You've seen the video of Brock tossing the microphone?
Yeah.
That is cool.
That was really cool.
And then even Roman winking at him, like they planned it. Like, yep, we nailed it. Because I didn't take that as a Roman in character moment. Because why would that be, you know? So when he threw it to him, he winked at him, like, yep, we nailed it. Because, I don't know. After seeing all these years of Brock doing stuff and then hearing more and more stories about how he, you know, the true stories of how he is, you know, kind of standoffish, but then when he's doing business with you, how much he helps, that you're like, oh, so this guy's not what we've been told.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so seeing stuff like that, it's like, oh, okay, these two are just having fun out there. And since you mentioned Brock, what did you think of the main event? Outside the inevitable interference ending, whatever, we all knew it was going to happen anyways.
Thought it was their second best match against each other after the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was what it needed to be. It had to be a spectacle.
That was
the only way they were going to get through this. Was to get the incredible visual of Brock driving the tractor down to the ring, the them actually using it, Brock jumping for a Thez press, the throwing Roman into the ring with it, and then, of course, lifting up the ring, which, you know, they've won ring shenanigans in the past, but that was a first.
I've never seen that before.
No. And Roman taking the stunt bump, the pratfall bump out.
Yes, that was so cool.
That was good. That was really good. Once again, no, everything about that worked.
Yeah.
Maybe parts of the finish didn't really work as much, because if there was a time to do blood in a WWE main event, that was it.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, and they didn't, you know, it's been a weird thing in this Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar feud where the toughest weapon Roman uses against Brock is the belt. You know, once again, if there was a time to use to do a stiff chair shot to the head, that was that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess trying to play it like, you know, bless his soul, Michael Cole, without Vince in his ear, is doing some of the best work of his career, and he was already doing some of the best work in his career with McAfee anyway. Because Vince wasn't going to be yelling in McAfee's ear, because he would just take his head off and leave, his headset off and leave.
You know what's funny about that? Remember, we used to complain about Michael Cole all the time. Everyone did.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Pat McAfee's really brought it back out, brought it out of him. Maybe Vince is like, shut up for a while. But then I noticed by subtraction, however that's supposed to go, Michael Cole was helping the match.
Yes.
And I'm like, he sounds like he's having fun, and he's not
He
saying
has.
dumb crap, he's not stammering, and it all seems genuine. So it's like, okay. Who the hell, who showed up? Oh, Friday. They're doing the Maximum Male Models, which another WrestleMania match in the making is them versus Pretty Deadly. I'm saying it now. Anyways, Max Dupree shows up, and Michael Cole legitimately goes, "What the hell? Like, what the hell is he doing here?" But it sounded real. It didn't sound like that put on Michael Cole. Hey, pal, act surprised. So I'm like, did they keep this? They keep it a secret that, you know, he's back or was never gone or whatever else. But it was little things like that that he didn't subtract from stuff to where he blended in and actually was part of the match, like the announcers are supposed to be. Where McAfee still goes a little too overboard for me, but at least it sounds genuine. So, but sorry, I mean to run all over your Michael Cole thing, so feel free and continue now.
No, I guess my only criticism was, I think he may have gone overboard in trying to in how much danger Brock was in that moment, like trying to say that he couldn't breathe underneath all of that. But once again, they were in that situation where Brock had already done the most clean job of his entire career at WrestleMania, and then he had to do another job. So basically saying he was near death before he finally succumbed. Like, that's the, I guess that's the compromise.
I did like the line. There was something. Brock was down. He got back up. I can't remember why, but he'd been taking quite a beating. And I think the Usos had already interfered and all this stuff. And the referee got to eight. And Cole says something of, "How the hell is he keeping doing this? Or how does he keep doing this?" It's like, "Why does he keep doing this?" And McAfee's like, "He hasn't. They didn't count to 10." He's like, "Well, someone's got to count faster, or God damn it, count faster." I was like, "That's pretty good." Because you don't hear that very often, so.
No, again, mostly good marks for Michael Cole's performance, especially in the post Vince era.
Oh, I mean, so since we're, I didn't really get a chance to talk with Kevin much about this. What are your expectations for Triple H?
I think that we will see incremental changes. I don't know if we'll see the biggest changes until after the until post draft and the quote unquote season premieres. I don't know when they'll get rid of Kevin Dunn, but I assume that's going to happen soon. And hopefully then these shows improve from the production standpoint. Raw was tempered a lot with the camera cuts and the shaky cam stuff.
Finally.
It was tempered. Unfortunately, I don't know if this whole thing where, like the camera cut right at the impact point of a move, I don't know if that's going away because even AEW does that.
Well, what I was noticing, so I know I hit you up, I think I hit you up Saturday, and I was like, "These camera cuts are killing me." And you said you didn't notice any difference, and you were exactly right. The next match, they weren't as bad. And then going forward, they weren't too bad. And I was like, "What's going on here?" And then the Ronda Rousey match started. They were cutting like crazy again. And I'm sitting there going, "They're not doing this just for the women at this event." And then come Monday, they were significantly less. But it was definitely the Bayley match and then Ronda Rousey and Liv. Now, maybe you need that with those two, I'm not sure, but I just thought it was interesting because it was grating to the point where Elise was even saying something. And if she notices it, because she doesn't watch, she doesn't watch it the way we do. Most of the time she's playing on her tablet, whatever. that if the casual person sees it goes, what the hell are they doing? And then she started going, oh my God. I'm like, I know, this is terrible. So were they doing it just for the women? And then they finally realized, all right, enough. We don't need to protect them, you know, baby, like baby the women, whatever, however you want to look at it. That's actually what I'm getting at, is what they were doing. Trying to cover up for, you know, the women can't do it the same. Because I've never bought into this women's revolution stuff. It's like they treat them equal. Maybe with Steph actually in charge, maybe it will be real. Who knows? Or is it just lip service? But the camera cut stuff has got to stop. And saying that AEW does it too, AEW blows shots worse than WWE does, but yet no one calls them out for it.
Oh, yeah.
The camera work in AEW, they get a passing grade over WWE because they keep their camera still, which is nice.
Yeah.
But then they'll go to a shot of like some kid picking his nose. And they're like, what are we doing? I do not care what the crowd's doing. I'm watching on TV. I'm watching for the action in the ring. If your sound is correct, I can hear what the crowd, if the crowd's going nuts or not. So crowd reactions are not, unless it's something remarkable, like today with the kid crying, like legitimately bawling, sure, cut to that. That's fine. But not like something big happens and they show some people just sitting there. Like you had all this time to choose and you chose them. WWE does it too, by the way. So.
Yeah. Oh, but, yeah. Yeah, WWE got really bad with crowd shots. And of course, after Undertaker loses shock face guy at WrestleMania 30,
yep.
People started doing it. Fans started doing that crap on purpose.
Oh, there was also Brock Lesnar guy. Don't forget about him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't make me.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, my God. Oh, we forgot about the thing that made me turn off the pre-show.
No, I didn't. I just didn't mention it.
They let Frank the Clown go in the ring and cut a promo.
Who? Okay. I know who Frank the Clown is by seeing him and by name. Who is Frank the Clown?
He's Brock Lesnar guy's best buddy. They're always basically sitting together at the big shows. He's Noel Foley's longtime boyfriend. He was on the Holy Foley show on WWE.
Okay. That's
I think
right.
They're still together. I don't even know. I'm pretty sure. I think they are, because I think Mick mentioned that.
I can honestly, I can see turning that off if you saw that.
I did. I mean, I was on the fence about ordering that thing until about 30 to 40 minutes until I saw that. Then it was a definite no. It probably would have stayed no, but.
Well, and that's bad because you're not a casual fan. But I'm like, if there was somebody that was like curious about it, which I don't know who, I don't know how a curious fan would find this anyways, since it was on Fight. Was it on traditional pay-per-view?
I think it was.
Okay. Well, I have YouTube TV, so they don't have
I think they got clearance everywhere but DirecTV. Or was DirecTV or Dish? One of them didn't. Well, regular paper, you just they're going to put on anything.
Yeah, true.
After the move UFC pulled.
But yeah, well,
that's totally gone. But.
Yeah, that Frank the Clown thing, I was just like, what is this garbage? What is it like? What is this indie wrestling nonsense? And it just it yelled sleaze to me, like, and it wasn't. But it still was like, ugh. It just, I don't know. So anyways, we're talking about the expectations for Triple H. Now you're mentioning, like, isn't the new season the end of August, right? September?
No, it's been moved to October now.
All right.
Because everything else has been moved to October. No, almost no TV shows debut in September anymore. Of course, it's that thing where they call it the season premiere when the show never goes away.
Right.
But they've always done that dating back to like, I think like 95 was the first year they ever did that.
Okay.
Maybe that's when they'll be a new opening, new graphics, and by that point.
Well, I was more
production team.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was getting at. Like production team look, and really storyline and wrestlers. I honestly think it's gonna take them till Rumble.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think that's being nice. I'd actually give it till after WrestleMania to be a safe one for me is Rumble. a reasonable one is Mania, because it's pretty clear who's not in the pecking order right now. Or maybe it was because it was SummerSlam. So I guess we'll get some more answers next week. Theory wasn't on. Ezekiel wasn't on. No 24/7 title. None of
Yeah,
those
there's
people.
that.
None of those people were on, right?
No, those people were on. No. They filled the time with those triple threat matches and then
Yeah.
the singles match. Yeah.
There were others that were absent, but whatever. People are absent all the time, but not people who were involved in major things. And yeah, Ezekiel was involved in major stuff. And I know Kevin Owens being hurt or whatever's going on doesn't help. Riddle obviously doing the injury angle. Randy legit hurt. And then they all of a sudden just throw in Ciampa, which I'm all for.
Oh yeah, I'm all for it,
So.
and that is going to be interesting next week because they're in Cleveland next week. Do they bring back Gargano, or bring in Gargano to the to Raw? If he's had long enough. I mean, an
Yeah.
AEW show in Cleveland has come and gone since
Well, aren't they in
Bolton was
Cleveland?
here.
Isn't that Quake by the Lake next week? That's AEW.
That's Minneapolis.
Oh, it is? Okay. I've never heard of Minneapolis being by the lake.
It's really
Isn't it
stupid. It's
10,000 lakes?
almost as dumb as doing beach break
In
in
Cleveland.
Cleveland in Jan. Well, nothing's that stupid.
Yeah, but
Nothing's that stupid.
Well, it did give us that awesome promo with Ricky Starks wearing ski goggles and
Oh yeah.
Hobbs wearing the fur coat
Yeah.
with no shirt and
Yeah,
overalls.
that
It's so
yeah,
great.
that was entertaining, but that was the only thing they did with that
Yes,
whole
that
branding.
was.
I didn't understand that, but yeah, but no.
So, okay, do you honestly see Johnny Gargano as a main roster guy? I mean, dead serious. And I love Johnny Gargano.
With Triple H in charge, with his surrogate daddy in charge, he might get a chance.
I just see the people that are on that roster, and I know this is unfair,
No. It was the issue the whole time. No,
but look at the
the size
size.
issue was always was the issue. Yes.
So, I don't know. That'd be pretty wild. I didn't know they were in Cleveland next week. So.
But that's also the Miz's hometown, of course, too. And I'm just curious if there was anything where Ciampa was just going to hand his title shot over to the Miz.
Yeah,
And
I
give
saw
Miz
you.
the
I think I
title.
got on Twitter, and I saw that, and I was like, "I hope not," because that automatically makes Ciampa look like a chump.
Right.
So, Triple H is not. I mean, maybe it'll happen next week,
Well, see,
but
I know Ciampa's Triple H's other boy, so.
unless they do some goofy angle where Ciampa gets attacked in the parking lot, which we failed to mention on NXT, how those women's car broke down in the parking lot. Again, not in a parking spot. Anyways, he's gonna have him be attacked, and he's like, "No, Miz, take my spot. I can't go. I can't let this go. We've got to have it. You were in Cleveland, your hometown, whatever else." Because he's doing like Miz should be the respected veteran bit, so he could buy into it, which still would make him look like a dumbass. But yeah, I did not know they're in Cleveland. I don't know. I mean, what are you thinking? We do DIY again?
Well, no, I could. I mean, I never want to see them wrestle each other again. But maybe if they do like one tag match, maybe one singles match, it's fun. It'd be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know where Gargano fits. So,
Yeah,
it's
I
maybe
guess
my
that makes a
imagination is.
question.
But when it comes to like wholesale changes, there's not a lot of people he can take from NXT to create like a newer, fresher roster.
Yeah.
We were kind of hitting around about that. Carmelo Hayes is another one,
He's
and I hope his size doesn't keep him
yeah,
down.
he's good, but I remember him being face to face with Adam Cole, and Adam Cole was taller.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, maybe an inch or two, but yeah,
Well,
his height's yeah, that could still be an issue.
but
Yes.
here's the thing. He doesn't look small. Where Adam Cole, he may be a couple inches taller, will still look smaller than him.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, it's like, but him and Trick Williams coming up, I know Trick is definitely not ready, but that'd be fun. Carmelo's the kind of character that I'm like, I don't like the character, but in a good way. Like, they're getting me with, like, oh, this guy's really obnoxious. But then he does something, you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, Omos and MVP weren't on the show. I just thought of that.
Yeah, no.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, no. There definitely was no Omos
Wow.
on the show yet.
All right, well.
That's just that's one where it's just, what do you really do with him? A guy that size has to be in the main event, but now the main events have moved beyond a guy like that.
Yeah, and they.
And you don't have John Cena to do that formula match. You could maybe do something with him and Brock down the line, or
There's no chance Brock's doing that.
no.
No.
I mean he trusted like Big Show to go up and do all the suplex stuff, and but
That's Big Show.
I don't think I mean almost would end up with like busted shoulder, busted neck.
Yeah, it's not like I'm not bashing the guy, but he's just not ready. I mean,
Yeah, no, he's not ready for that. No.
he's around. I watched an interview with him, and he was very complimentary of AJ Styles. He even said that he didn't want that tag team to break up. He goes, "I was learning so much from him."
Oh, no, it never really should have. No.
No,
Shouldn't have done
and
nothing with AJ Styles since then either.
yeah, but yeah, so I don't know what you do with him, but. Like the wholesale changes in that, like they already showed the women, like so they had the women's division changing on Raw, but it's like okay, Carmella's not terrible. I don't know where Zelina Vega is.
Think she got hurt at some point.
Okay, well that would make sense. I just am hoping he changes Dewdrop's name. Piper Niven's good. I'm not saying she's great, she's good, so she can be used better. Nikki ASH, I don't even know if she's still doing that anymore.
She is, yes.
Oh, no, the first thing she said, all right, nope, gone. Like, can we please get awesome Nikki back? And I know it's a pipe dream of getting crazy Nikki back, but that sanity version of Nikki Cross was awesome. And whatever. But then who else, Rhea Ripley's tied up with Judgment Day. I mean, that's really it. Because Dana Brooke was part of the 24/7 thing, Tamina as well, which is kind of where they should be. So, all right, you got some stuff you can build on in there. You got two new people with a Bayley getting mixed back in. You got a women's division built up, but it's got to be built up. And then your rest of your roster, I mean, I guess they're holding off Riddle and Seth for whatever reason. But there's plenty of room. It's just it's going to take time, and it's going to take time for these people to get behind the people, which is the biggest
Yeah.
thing. Not treating them like dumbasses. So.
Well, you know what's a major change that it never should have been something in the first place? Someone going down to the ring, then they go to commercial, then they run up umpteen video packages. This per that if you've gone to a WWE TV tape in the last 5 years, you know what I'm talking about. They're standing in the ring with the lights down for like upwards of 10 minutes. I mean, it's like it was a rib Vince was doing for his own amusement. I mean, there were moments earlier this year, not that long ago, where it felt like 20 minutes were going by before the next person was introduced. There was none of that on this week's Raw, at least.
Yeah, they actually did like picture in picture, I think, if I remember right.
And they did picture in picture for the
Yeah.
first time on Raw.
Yeah.
That's never been a thing they did for Raw.
Yeah. But it's just basic changes would be nice.
Basic.
Just
Well,
it's the changes we don't
the way
even
I saw
notice.
someone said it was perfect. if you think that Raw was a 2 or a 3 for the last year or more, all Triple H has to do is get that consistently up to a 6, and people are going to be showering him with praise.
Yeah. And that'd be fine. Like, I didn't think this week, I actually watched all of Raw this week, which is extremely rare. And I'm not going to say I was interested the whole time, because, you know, it's still 3 hours, it's too long, we all know. Yeah. But it didn't turn me off. And then I was honestly intrigued by Ciampa and AJ Styles, and they gave it time. And, you know, things happen, so whatever. But I also was just expecting something else to happen, I guess. And maybe that's what kept my interest. So maybe it'll be different on SmackDown. I haven't seen too many people talk about, but the promos and language didn't seem from outer space.
No, the dentist said that Triple H is giving people more freedom with promos. We're not being forced to use big words that Vince is obsessed with or anything of that sort. We're still keeping WWE Universe and a few other things, but it's not being as beat. Doesn't seem like it's been beaten. Yeah. Beaten over the head as much.
Yeah. I haven't even checked what's our time here. No, okay. Let me wrap up. But I also get this idea that Triple H is not going to come in and make wholesale changes to, like, WWE Universe, because it's marketing. Giving people back their names. Change it like this for, like, making Becky a face, that was apparently his idea, because Vince wanted her to be heel. But him coming and going, no, you're doing this, we're changing this, like, changing everything that his father-in-law did. And I know it's business, I know it's creative aspect, but I still think he has a healthy respect for, like, a very, very healthy respect for him. To the point where he's like, I know this doesn't work, I know I don't like this, people don't like this, but yeah, I'm still going to tread lightly. Like, that's the cast, that's the shadow first Vince, you know, casts over this entire company. And then two, it's his family too. Triple H doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's like, ah, fuck it, I'm doing whatever I want. Because also, his daughter, he's married to his daughter. So, you know, we all know how weird it is in that whole thing. This is just me speculating. I've read nothing about it, heard nothing about it, obviously. I just get the feeling that's gonna be part of the creative process, too. So, like, you're like, Kevin Dunn will be gone. He will be eventually. We all know that. But it's not going to be soon. Even if they could fire him right now or make him resign, whatever, I don't think they'd do it.
No, they still need to keep up the image that this company's humming along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll let him retire gracefully.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a pushed out situation.
Yeah.
But yes, there won't be a firing or anything like that. But I'll be curious how long, like, Bruce Pritchard sticks around again this time. And also how big the writing staff was going to be. Didn't they say they had like 50 writers or something?
I think it's some. It might be that many. Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering if that was just an exaggeration, but yeah, they'd be like, okay, I'm giving leeway. Triple H, like, in the interviews I've read or watched on YouTube, he wants creative input from everybody, including the wrestlers. Well, that's kind of how it used to be, and then Vince went through Vince. Back when it was better, instead of Vince going, no, I want you to do this. And then changed everything that the writers came up with. So maybe we can get back down and cost and save some costs by not having 50 writers. Just stuff that we won't see on TV, but that we can feel on TV because of backstage changing. And again, I don't think this happens anytime soon. Like, I had to temper my own expectations watching SummerSlam. Now, he didn't do himself a favor by introducing, you know, EO and Dakota, but, all right, just give it some time. And again, like you said, as long as the show's a 6 instead of a 1, that's fine with me. So, we'll see. But let's get the hell out of here, because I don't know what time it is in Wisconsin right now. But it is late here, so.
Yeah, I know. It's like an hour earlier, yes.
That's right. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Ooh, you're in the central. How, all right, real quick. How is that getting used to?
The first time I watched, like, I think it was the day after I moved, because I got here on a Sunday, and then it turned into Monday, and starting raw at 7 o'clock felt weird. But after that, no, it can be nice. If you're things are done at 10 o'clock.
That's true.
And maybe another hour or two, depending on what time you go to bed. I don't mind Central Time.
Because I know when we went up there.
When I'm on the West Coast, I adapt pretty quickly to Pacific Time. So.
Oh God, I haven't been out there in forever. Like the only time it actually mattered was when we went to Eric's wedding. When we've gone to like Dallas and that, whatever, for like WrestleMania, went to New Orleans a couple times. There's New Orleans Eastern. Oh. No, it's Central. Well, that's the whole point. It didn't matter. So it was, all right, Bourbon Street open. Bourbon Street doesn't close. All right, cool. We don't have to worry about it. So nice tourist wrestling trash. So I was just curious. So let's get out of here. Oh, that's right. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Jeremy, and we'll let Chris take us out. I forgot about this.
All right. All right, everybody. Rate and review us on iTunes, iHeartRadio, was it Spreaker or whatever, Spotify, wherever you listen to us. I'm at Stunt Cali. He's at Granny Mays, but he is never on Twitter. The brand is at Stunt Granny. You can hit up at Defrango11 and ask him how he's doing on his vacation if you'd like. And we're out of here.
Peace, everyone.